Hello again, guys, and welcome to the 12th edition of the Total Warcast. I'm your host, Leonidas the Lion. In absence today is Daly, who is whoring around and drinking in somewhere in southern Europe. I'm not quite sure where, but with me today is Pontifex, an administrator on TWC, who, if you haven't seen that, I'm sorry, but you've been living under a rock. So where are you, Pontifex? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. This is my first appearance on a Total War Center audio publication. For about a year and a half, I used to do the podcasts with the Black Prince, and that was mostly for when Empire was coming out. And that seems so long ago now, but it was really only about 18 months. But we used to do all those multiplayer battles that you may or may not have seen on YouTube. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, I definitely remember those podcasts. I was a big fan. You were actually, I don't know if you remember me, but you were actually my boss. That was when I first joined the podcast staff, when I actually sort of got interested in the whole like filming podcast. I don't know if you remember me, but I was a big fan of you and the Black Prince's audio podcast.
Oh, that's always good to know, because it seemed like our viewings were so irregular. Sometimes, and I could never figure out why this was, sometimes we'd do a podcast on just any random topic, and we'd have over 1,000 hits. And then others we'd have like less than 300. So I guess I don't really know why, but it's good to know that people enjoyed and remember those podcasts, because they did take quite a bit of time.
Yeah. The thing is about the ratings, we here with the Warcast, we also get sort of fluctuating results. I mean, we had I don't know if you've listened to it, but we interviewed Jack Lusted from CA, and we had him on the show, and we got over 1,500 hits in a very short period of time, which actually propelled us to second place that week on the Podomatic gaming section, which we were quite proud of. But then, you know, in the next episode, we talked about something generic, I think a couple of monster cases and whatnot. We got like around 400 hits. So
that's how it was with us when we would interview mod leaders for Remus Rectum 2, and then we'd get tons of hits that week, and then we'd do like a round table discussion about something. We'd get like less than, you know, we'd be lucky to get, you know, a couple hundred.
Yes, it seems TWC's population is quite fickle.
Yes.
Moving on, guys. If you haven't already turned the podcast off, we'll be
all we do is talk about their viewing, so I'm not going to view out of spite.
We'll be discussing the new update that Creative Assembly, they've updated us. They've been very kind to us lately. They've been giving us all weekly, or almost bi-weekly, I think, updates on our forums. We'll be talking about the 31st of August update that they're giving us. We'll be showcasing a Shogun 2 AI mini mod, the universal AI mod for Shogun 2. That was released in April, but we still play it, so we're going to showcase it now. Then we'll be talking about the official Total War Center Minecraft servers that have been set up this summer, which is a pretty big thing, because, well, I'm going to make it a big thing and you're going to sit there and listen. And finally, we'll be introducing you guys to a brand new forum RPG that is in development, or is currently being, or is ready and is running by.
I'm gonna say a little bit of both.
There you have it. A little bit of both. That's
it is being played, but it also is subject to random changes and improvements, as we'll talk about later.
Right, as we'll talk about later, that's Pontifex. As Pontifex will talk about later, because I don't really know anything about this Forum RPG. So, what topic would you like? What segment would you like to start with, Pontifex?
We can start with talking about this mini mod for Shogun 2. And this is the universal AI mod for Shogun 2, which was created by the Hedge Knight, and this came out on April 3rd, 2011.
Yep, and apparently, hello again, guys. I would firstly like to apologize for the brief cut in the stream. That is due to technical difficulties, as one part of our recording was unfortunately corrupted. Thus, the conversation that me and Pontifex had regarding the small mini mod was not fully recorded. In fact, when the track resumed, it was basically the end where we were closing off the segment. I will, however, post a link to the mini mod so you guys can look at it yourselves. And again, I apologize for this inconvenience. Definitely, that's definitely what I think most people like a challenge. But for those of you that don't, well, don't download it. But definitely, I will. For those of you that are lazy, I will post a link to the thread when I release this Warcast. So do make sure to take a look at the mod, and do make sure to rep the Hedge Knight for this great looking mini mod, I must say. I'll test it out and I'll tell you, but from where I'm standing, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, good work, Hedge Knight.
Moving on, we'll be talking about the new update from the Creative Assembly, who have updated They're we've updated us, the community, from one of them. Just find that post on August 31st. They've updated us on what they've been up to regarding the DLC and everything. Kratos Wars posted that they are working on the, where is he? Where is it called? The last, not the last samurai. Let me not murder it. Rise of the Samurai and the new DLC, which of course we covered in the last Total Warcast, if you had been listening, which I'm sure you have. I'm sure you've been listening. That for me is, I find it pretty nice on the whole that they like to update us now. They like to give us, small morsels of information regarding what they're up to. I think it's a definite improvement from what we had, in the past.
I'm thrilled with how forthcoming they've been with information. When Empire came out, it was pretty much silent on their end. And it's great to see that they're taking more of an interest in the Total War Center community, because they take care of their guys, obviously, but it's nice that they're, sharing these sorts of, updates with us.
Definitely, I think that's something we've actually discussed numerous times on the podcast, is Creative Assembly's relationship with the community. I think we discussed it, in regards to DLC, and then in regards to the data tables being released earlier this year. And we also discussed it when we interviewed Jack Lawson. I think we can definitely see a definite improvement in the relationship between Creative Assembly and the community from, say, when Medieval 2 Total War came out, and lots of the modders wanted more of the developers' input, but Creative Assembly were pretty much silent the whole
There
time.
does seem to have been a diametric shift in their policy for the better. It's great to have information like this. Although I will say that just in general, it seems like no matter what game really, within a couple months, well, this is longer than a couple months, but everyone's always pushing this downloadable content. And it's a little bit like painting a picture and leaving out certain, and then taking scissors and cutting up the picture, releasing half of it, and then wanting people to pay extra money to get the other bits that you've cut out. And I'm not sure I really approve of that whole marketing scheme, but it seems to work well for them.
Well,
What's your opinion on that DLC? It seems like a little bit of a almost a tease, really.
Well, Pontifex, if you've been listening to the Warcast, you would have known what my opinion on DLC is, because I think I gave it a couple episodes back. But just to reiterate, I think that especially for games like the Total War series, where modding is a huge thing. Let's be honest. No game is modded like the Total War series. And I think releasing DLCs, essentially, adding new factions, adding this, adding new units, adding something that the modder used to do in his own free time, and that the community used to do, and now doing it, and charging people money for it. I pretty much don't agree with that. I mean, I know in some games DLCs might work because the game engine is too complicated to mod, the game engine is not very easily moddable, and then they just add, extra scripted missions or an extra campaign or an extra, addition to the whole story. But for a game where the person is the person is the person who is the person who says the story and who sets the sto his own story, I think releasing extra content that used to be released by people from the community for absolutely nothing is, I think they've essentially taken the idea of modding and just made it a marketing
And marketed it, yeah. And I mean, I don't live in this in a fantasy world. I realize that, Creative Assembly is a for-profit company, and their goal is to make money, and that's fine. I'm just not sure. And it's not just Creative Assembly. Actually, my biggest beef is with console games, that they want to offer you all this download stuff, and it's just like, when will it end? You
It's like,
know.
I don't actually think it's Creative Assembly who are the ones that are, they're not the ones that, I don't think they actually have a marketing department. I think it's actually Sega who decides on all the pricing and everything, I think. Because let's not forget, I'm sure we all like bashing, Creative Assembly. But if you look at it, they're employees of Sega at the moment. They're paid by Sega to develop games that Sega will publish and will make profit on, hopefully. So
Right.
an exec from Sega comes and says, "We've been looking around, everyone's doing DLC, we'd like you to do DLC," then it's not it, I think we should be careful when allocating blame to who's actually, fully responsible. Because if you take a look, it's not always, Sega, and it's not always, Creative Assembly. Oh, let's bash Creative Assembly. Let's not forget that they do have employers. They do have people that pay them. It's not.
Yeah, it's the whole gaming industry, really. It's kind of the same thing.
Well, definitely.
Doesn't really matter who you are. I mean, it just it's a conspiracy. That's what it is. The DLC conspiracy.
Well, you know how everyone loves a good conspiracy.
Almost as much as they love to bash Creative Assembly for things they aren't actually responsible for.
Yeah, I mean, I think, if you look at it, there's some other. I think Paradox itself is its own developer, its own publisher. Sorry, I think I'm not entirely sure, but they develop and they publish their own games. I think I'm not. You guys are gonna have to correct me if I'm wrong, but what I've noticed is that actually closes the gap between developer and the community, because what feedback they get from the community, they can immediately, implement or pitch. They don't have to pitch it to someone, some exec from another company that they need funding for. So I don't know. Am I a fan of developers being their own publishers? I guess I am. I don't know about you.
I guess I don't want to get too embroiled into just one small aspect of the update. I guess I also wanted to mention something about the they're also releasing a patch, which looks like it's going to have some good changes to it, just in terms of fixing some bugs. And for those of you who are fortunate enough to run this game, which is honestly, it looks like a work of art on ultra settings. This will be good for you with the optimization tweaks. And then he also alludes briefly to a campaign diary which resembles an after-action report in a lot of aspects, which I thought was kind of funny because it's pretty much Craig is going to do an after-action report on one of his campaigns.
Sounds
Which
pretty cool.
is, you know, that's something that people have been doing for a long time, so it's kind of cool that the developers are going to, do it too. I kind of like it because it's kind of like they're enjoying their game in the same way we are.
Well, it's good to know that, developers are, in fact, gamers too. They're not just, faceless.
Robots.
They're not just a faceless robot that pumps out, games. It's good to know that, these people care and, these people get to play their own game and enjoy it and have problems and difficulties and overcome them, and I think that brings them more in touch to the community. I think it definitely brings the community and the developer closer together, which is a good thing.
It is. I am overall very happy with the relationship that's been developing. It's, it's still in its infancy, but the relationship that's been developing between Creative Assembly and Total War Center. And wow, this update thread is up to over 100 responses already. So, get in there. Craig says that he is willing to answer any questions people might have. He says in the original post itself that he'll address them in the next update, but then he's been answering questions all through the thread. So if you have anything that you'd like to ask about this update in particular, obviously he'd be your best source. And take advantage of it, because we're very fortunate now that he's taking time out of his day to come on to Total War Center and answer these questions and keep us in the loop. So take advantage of it.
It definitely does. He seems like a pretty good guy. He likes to actually respond to people's questions, which is more than I can say for several other developers from other studios that I've seen on different forums, where people ask them questions and they don't post at all beyond the opening.
Or they respond very defensively and they don't really give you any information other than they want you to stop criticizing what they're doing.
Either that, or they just respond in a very generic sort of, like, I guess you'll just have to wait and see kind of response, which I find to be quite annoying. I don't know if people remember but I've mentioned on the show that I'm waiting for the release of the new MMORPG Star Wars: The Old Republic, and if you look how the developers answer questions there, they don't give anything away at all, which I think is quite. It's quite annoying, because people keep asking them questions, and what they keep alluding to is, I guess you'll just have to wait till release. We'll see it release, which is quite frustrating. I mean, why have that option to ask developers if they're not going to answer?
I guess we can move on from that now.
Well, if people haven't turned off the podcast.
Yeah, if anyone is still listening this point.
If anyone is still out there, we'll be moving on now to... We're going to be showcasing the new servers for Minecraft. They're actually hosted, not on Total War Center, but I guess you could say by Total War Center.
Yes, I think that'd be accurate.
I think that'd be inaccurate. I mean, we have our... We have our admin, who is, who's set them up at home or somewhere. I think I saw his system somewhere, but he's.
If what I remember, if I remember this correctly, I think Green Eye Devil has several servers that he wasn't using, and he has set it up to run through that. But it's actually the members itself, members, players themselves that do the day-to-day sort of running of them. And this is actually something that we had talked about a little bit when I met with Green Eye Devil in June in Denver for lunch, and we had talked about developing the other game section a little bit in more, add some depth to it. And part of that was we wanted to protect the growing and large player base of Minecraft on Total War Center, and protect them from griefers, who, if you aren't familiar with Minecraft terms, I myself am only passingly familiar with them. Griefers are evidently people that take pleasure in ruining other people's work. I mean, I guess I would have a different nickname for them. I'd just call them assholes. But apparently these people go around and they make it their job to just destroy whatever you've been working on, regardless of what it is. And the Total War Center group was griefed, and that was that put the private servers, so that we could protect the players from that, on an accelerated timeline. We wanted to get those up a little sooner, so I could be completely wrong, but I believe that that was that's where we currently stand on there. I've been getting too involved with other games. I kind of let Minecraft, as the summer went on, I kind of let Minecraft slip into the back of my mind because it was being handled so well by other people. But I believe that's where we stand with the Minecraft servers right now, is that we have them up, and essentially, because they're private, you are protected from those people that just run around and destroy things because they think it's funny.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it'll be definitely good to have a Total War Center moderated, you know, server, because moderated by the players themselves, because in true TWC fashion, because, you know, I personally have played on the private server and I've been griefed, and you know, it's definitely annoying, because especially if you're playing on one of the survival servers where you have to collect all the materials yourself. And then you build something, or you know, you store up some items that you want to use later on. Then you find that people have either stolen them, or you know, they've ripped a huge hole in whatever you've built. And it is pretty annoying, because you know, it might have taken you hours upon hours to make, and it only takes them a couple of minutes to destroy. And that's pretty annoying. But this way, I think by having a regulated servers like we do now. Beyond, you know, the PvP servers where you can actually, you know, kill each other, we can. I think it'll be a much better, much friendlier player environment for people to build in to enjoy Minecraft.
I do believe that there is a zero tolerance policy for griefing for the Total War Center server. So, if griefing is your thing, find somewhere else to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I'll put a link to the servers in the thread when I upload this workout. You guys can check it out. Definitely, if you haven't bought Minecraft, it's a pretty fun game for its price. I mean, you get tons and tons of. It's almost unlimited replayability, I'd say. I don't know what it's getting now, because I bought it when it was on the cheap, in alpha. I don't know what it is now. I think it's, what is it, around $20 now in beta? I'm not entirely sure.
I think that sounds about right.
Not entirely sure. I bought it for 10 euros back when it was in alpha, but, definitely get it. I mean, if not only to play with your friends, it's great fun. You can build literally everything and have fun on, and come have fun with us on the official Minecraft servers. Hopefully, and in the future, in the next couple of Warcasts, I'll try and get Green Eyed Devil for an interview on here. I don't know if he'll say yes, but I will try. I will harass him by PM until such time as he, you know, bans me. So, I will try and get him here for you guys so he can go more in depth regarding the Minecraft servers and such. Moving on to our, I think, is it our final segment?
I believe, or second to final.
Our next segment regarding, well, this is, Pontifex has been waiting for this whole entire time.
On the edge of my seat.
He's on the edge of his seat. We're introducing. There's a new forum RPG that has been set up by Pontifex. It's based in the late Roman era. Is it
late Roman Republic?
Late Roman Republic.
Yes.
So right before Caesar does his thing.
Essentially, I mean, it's kind of a we've kind of taken the first century BC and kind of wiped the slate in terms of history. And the premise of the game really is that now it's our job to rewrite that history, and it can be done in so many different ways, and that's kind of what adds an interesting element to this game itself. I guess that I'll start with the brief introduction of how this idea came to be. And this was through an MSN conversation with my friend Winter. Some of you may or may not know him. He's usually pretty discreet on the forum, but we were talking about it, and we had laid the groundwork for an idea. We used to run You Are the Senate, which is a Total War based forum RPG that's still going strong, and I am thrilled to see that it is, because it's good to see that these things have staying power. But we ran that for about a little over 2 years together, but then inevitably we got involved in other things, and we just had to entrust it to other people who have kept it going in its current form very well, and it's maintained, a lot of its people are still very interested in it, so that's great. But we wanted to develop a game that wasn't so dependent on the Total War games themselves, because we found that to be somewhat limiting. So we wanted to create something that could be more malleable in terms of players wanting to do things. That was about in June, and August was coming around, and I knew that we were both about to get very busy going back to college, and so I just started drafting up some rules for it, and I posted that, got some good feedback from interested members that were interested in the game, and we officially started on July 31st. That was day one, and since day one, the game has just absolutely taken off. We've already, let me check the stats on this, the figures. We have over 4,500 posts made in just under a month, which is absolutely brilliant. That is a very good timetable for interest. We have attracted a lot of interested people, people that had never imagined themselves playing a role-playing game. It has kind of a negative connotation attached to it, but it's actually pretty fun. I would describe this game as a combination of an alliance game and interactive history, in that battles are very much done. Well, they're completely up to the players how they're done, but some. Each side will send in a strategy to someone who moderates the overall battle, and then they determine the outcome. And then there's also an economic system that is loosely based on the Alliance games, which is it's very organized into a Google document spreadsheet. Anyone, if I can do it, anyone can do it. So it's very easy to use, very user friendly. And then other than that, it has every aspect of just, what you'd expect from a role playing game. We have different threads set up for different purposes, political wheeling and dealing or what have you. So I've really enjoyed watching this game develop into its current form. And even now, even a month into it, where you'd think that we'd have all the rules and everything nailed down, people are still coming up with wonderful ideas all the time to add. And we're several of those ideas are being discussed right now. And I'm very excited to see what happens. It's a game that is completely. I developed the framework for it, but really what my goal for this was to allow players to come in and really make it their own with their own suggestions and recommendations, and that's how it's turning out. So it's really developing into a really fun game. And if it's something that you're interested in doing, why don't you come on by, see what we're doing, and see if it interests you. Sign up's easy. It's nothing too intense. And honestly, if you only have 5 minutes a day where you could get online and, do some RP, that's fine. But if you end up really enjoying the game and you want to come on here and spend a couple hours, there is a lot of different stuff you could do just from, fighting in battles or whatever to political wheeling and dealing. So there are a lot of aspects of this game which just, I think it keeps people interested and keeps them stimulated. And so come on down and join us. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say about the game in terms of
No, I think
really, really it's just it really it's just it's a lot of fun to play, and it's constantly changing and changing for the better. Things are being aspects are being added that are completely making the gameplay much more complex, much more interesting. But at the same time, if you don't want to be involved in the complexities, you don't have to be. You can still play, a very base character without having to get embroiled with too much of the what I classify as the more time-consuming or intensive aspects of it. So it really from it can re this game can really appeal to any type of gamer from just, both ends of the spectrum from, kind of just laid back to really hardcore.
That actually sounds pretty great. My first question would be, what can I name my character?
Well, in the registration form, I have linked in my sticky, I have resources to help you choose your name. And one of the funniest things about this game is that I know quite a bit of Roman history just from, I'm going for a history degree at college right now. I've taken a couple classes. I've read a lot of books. But people who come with just kind of a really limited knowledge of it, they end up learning a lot about Roman culture and society. We don't adhere to precise history, historical events, or people, but we do adhere a lot to what you would call the Roman value system, Roman culture in general. There's strict adherence to that, enforced by those of us who do know more about the time period in general. And so you can click on that link, it'll take you right over, and you've got your the tria nomina, and you can pick your three names and then develop a little history of your character based on those names. You can actually if you Google search just some of these random ones like Sempronius, you'll be able to put in your biography, oh, and I was and I am of the Sempronii sect of that family that had three consuls in the 3rd and 2nd century BCE or whatever that happens to be. So you can get, really in depth into it, or you can kind of edge away from that and kind of create your own history divorced from the historical reality.
My question is, can I call my character Biggest Dickus Scipio?
I wouldn't necessarily approve of that, but I don't know if I would stop you.
Careful now, because careful now, 'cause that name might be appearing soon, if not from me,
Yeah.
maybe from someone who heard the
If
podcast.
anyone's still listening, hey, as long as you stay active and you play the game, because a lot of times what happens, unfortunately, is people do register, and because you'll notice we have about 3 pages of registrations in the registration thread itself, but very few of those people end up staying. I guess just for reasons of their own, I couldn't name any particular reason other than what drives me away from games is if it's too complex and I can't understand it. I'm usually someone who doesn't ask questions; I just give up. So if you are like me, don't hesitate to ask me questions because I really don't care. I'd rather you take some of my time, and I'm a pretty easygoing and friendly person, despite what you might see on Total War Center, some of my posts on there where I might look a little bit more cynical or mean. I'm actually a nice person, I promise. I won't bite your head off. Really, just the main rule. There's really only one rule that governs behavior in the game, and it's essentially don't be a jerk. I have a zero tolerance of anything that could be even loosely defined as drama. I've seen it happen in too many other forum games where it just kind of rips people, it rips the community, you know, apart, and that's something I don't want to deal with, and I'm not going to deal with it, and that's the end of that. But other than that, really, you can come on here, you can model a character after a historical character and go that route. You can come on here, you can be Senator Biggest Dickus, and you can be completely ahistorical if you choose to be ahistorical. The option is up to you. It's up to you what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to end up making. I'm definitely going to come over there and make Senator Biggest Dickus, who is married to Intercontinentia Buttocks and speaks with a lisp.
Oh, see, that might not be as ahistorical as you think. There are plenty of early Roman emperors who had some speaking problems. But this is sort of based on, roughly, I was reading Polybius lately, and in the early history of the Republic, he pretty much says that Romans, your job is to have good government. In layman's terms, pretty much, is what he's saying is the Greeks have, you know, art and medicine and science. The Gauls have their, you know, their warrior culture, but your mission is to rule all these people under good government. And so that's kind of the flavor this game has, is that we are not only expanding the territory of Rome as it was seen in around, honestly, our map starts around, it's probably around 80 BC, and then territorial acquisitions go up all the way, you know, really just however the players dictate it. And so we're not only extending the political boundaries of the Republic, but players are also in charge of every aspect of government within those boundaries. And that can be, you know, if you make a character and you decide that you would like to take power and take the power of government out of the hands of the Senate, you are more than welcome to spend a couple of years amassing a fortune, raising your own legions, and marching on Rome. But if you're someone who wants to preserve the Republic, you can do that also, and maybe prevent the other people who want to rise up and become dictators or emperors, you can prevent that from happening. So there are a lot of interesting internal dynamics of this game that I think just make it all the more interesting, because you're always trying to guess at the agenda of someone else. You can see their actions in terms of, oh, he just raised a legion this year. Well, what are his intentions?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be what I wanted to ask was, what's the time progression scale on this? I mean, how often do the years change? I mean, you mentioned we start at 80 BC.
We started at 50. Our map is from about 80. We started at 50, but what we have ended up doing is roughly every 10 days is a year. And what happens every 10 days is we'll have our magistrate elections every 10 days. And that'll depend. It can be every 9 days, depending on where we are in the month. And that the elections also coincide with payday. And so we have a whole schedule for this made up, and I've posted it in the forum itself. And essentially, you can see, I think, out till October right now. The year progression. So currently, this is our fourth week of play. So we are in 47 BC right now. And then next week it'll be 46 and so on and so forth. And so I didn't want to start the game too late because honestly, I say that it's a late Roman Republic RPG. It would have been more historical for it to have started in maybe, you know, go back to, you know, pre-Sola in like 90, or maybe go all the way back into like 120 or 130 BC. But then I didn't want to, I sacrificed that for keeping some more historical accuracy in terms of when historical figures in historical Rome were starting to take titles like dictator and trying to hold on to them for longer periods of time. And then, you know, you want to talk about a triumvirate deal where you have three leading figures, you know, essentially ruling different corners of it. So I kind of sacrificed the one thing for another in that it makes more sense the closer you get to the first century AD that there are several men or even just one man vying for the ultimate power.
That definitely sounds like something my character could do, you know. Biggest Dickus, the dictator of Rome.
Stamps his foot in three legions. Answer his call.
Definitely, I mean, I can definitely see him sitting there with a couple of legions and then going, quash the webbles.
And marching on Rome.
And if you don't get where I'm getting this from, then shame on you. If you don't get the reference, shame on you. Like, big shame on you. Just go Google Biggest Dickus, and I'm pretty sure you'll find out where it is. And no, I don't mean porn.
Yeah, make sure you're not searching on images with safe search off.
No, it's a reference from, I guess you'll, shame on you if you don't know, that's all I'm going to say. I guess moving on now, if you're still there, if any of you are still there, after
I think I probably just made a lot of them exit out of that, but we'll see. Anyone who's still listening, hang in there.
Hang in there, we're getting to a fun part that we haven't discussed before, and that the Pontifex is not really ready to answer, because he has no idea it's coming. But the next section is just going to be like a couple of a compilation of a couple of stuff that me and Daly had discussed on the previous podcast. Now I'm just going to turn over those questions and ask Pontifex what he thinks. So firstly, I remember one of the first questions we got asked from the tavern, which is our sort of feedback thread where listeners can ask us questions, was what's your favorite beer? Daly apparently likes a beer called Ass for some reason. I don't know why. It's some Norwegian beer.
Ass.
It's called Ass with two A's.
I wonder what it tastes like.
I gave a rather lackluster response and said that I like Guinness, which is which I know many of you are going to be like, oh God. So I'm quite interested to hear what Pontifex
officially?
Like. Well, no, not officially, because I don't want to get you into trouble, because I know.
Yeah. Officially, I have no favorite beer because I am underage in the United States, and I, of course, have never had a single drop of alcohol in my life. Unofficially, even though this is just what I've heard from people, is that Sam Adams is a very good beer. But I wouldn't know from experience, of course, because I have never had alcohol.
There you have it. Plausible deniability. Moving on. What are your favorite? I think one of the questions was, what are your favorite games?
My favorite games.
Your favorite games and your favorite genre of games.
We're going to say those are video games. My favorite video games.
Well, the question that was directed most likely meant your most favorite video game.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite video games. Obviously, I love Total War, or I never would have come to this website. I really love, my favorite Total War game is Rome, and then Medieval 2, and then unfortunately my computer is just so pathetic that I have not been able to run Empire very well at all, so my appreciation for Empire was, I think, rather low. And then Shogun 2, like, forget about it, this old can cannot run something like that. In terms of other than Total War games, I downloaded Lord of the Rings Online last year, and I've really enjoyed that. I feel like an absolute geek, but you know what? I've learned to embrace that. I don't care anymore. And then I guess non-computer related games, I've been known to play a little Call of Duty on my Xbox every now and then. So there you have it, I guess. Total War series, Lord of the Rings Online, and some Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, eh?
Love me some of that Call of Duty.
Call what? Which one?
Modern Warfare 2, actually.
Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, it's an older one, but it's an oldie but a goodie.
Well, definitely, I found it to be better than Black Ops, but
Wasn't a big fan of Black Ops. I was kind of disappointed, honestly. Kind of had a chunky gameplay.
what else? I'm absolutely forgetting what it was that they asked us to answer in the tavern because, well, me who I do drink often, unlike Pontifex, who's never had a drop of alcohol in his life, my brain
Oh,
cells.
never, never. I am an alcohol virgin, of course.
You heard it here. Never. I'm trying to just find some of the questions because I remember we had after the beer debate and the game debate. I remember one was what's your opinion on games that are made into films? Would be one. I mean, what do you think about
Well, they're normally pretty awful, aren't they? They're normally not very good.
Well, that's the conclusion that me and Daly came to, but I mean, I'd like to hear what your opinion is on, or if you found any movies
I'm trying
made.
to think of the specific ones I'm thinking that have come out, and all I can did they ever make that Halo movie? Was that ever created, or did they
No,
ditch that project?
I don't think they've ever made a Halo movie.
Yeah, I think they ditched that, which I was thrilled they did. Because it's not, I don't even think that video games should have plots. I really don't.
Oh, so
There
you're.
should be no plot line, or a very minimal plot line in video games. In a game like Halo, I think that the original Halo, and maybe even Halo 2, they really weren't that focused on the plot. But I noticed a shift between Halo 2 and Halo 3, and then all the ones that have come out since then that I haven't played much because I think they're bad. They seem to be almost obsessed with the plot. And honestly, I just hand me a controller. I just want to kill things. I don't want to worry about like a side love relationship or oh, the eternal struggle between the alien forces and the humans attempting to wipe out the human race. Gears of War is one of the worst for that. Like, I don't really care about all the side stories. Look, just give me more ammo and let me kill things. Honestly, that's why I play video games. If I wanted to think, I'd go read a book.
I guess you're not a fan of Mass Effect then.
No, not at all. I guess that's just me though, because these video games wouldn't be so popular unless people really did enjoy stuff like that. So I guess I'm definitely one of the minority people that I guess doesn't appreciate the finer points of video game plot lines. But be that as it may, I've never, and that translates to the video games that are made into movies. They're underwhelming.
You'd be surprised how many people are actually not into playing about the story and the single player in that sense, you know, because since most single players are about the story, a recent study showed that less than 10% of people actually finish the single player. They just like the multiplayer, which makes you think, you know, how much do people actually like story rather than just a good multiplayer?
Yeah, that's true. I think that, I mean, at least for Modern Warfare 2, I mean, whenever when I get on my Xbox and play it, I'm not playing the single player over again. I'm playing multiplayer. So that's a good point. And you know, the hours and hours and hours over the past 2 years I spent playing that game, I'd say like less than 2% of that was on the actual single player. So that's a good point.
What are you like level 10 prestige?
I think I'm like ninth or something. Though, I mean, with over, you know, the game's been out since November of 2009. I really should be 10th, shouldn't I? If I was any good at it, I really should be 10th prestige by now, huh?
Well, I haven't played Modern Warfare in over a year, and I'm like, I've prestiged once, and I'm about like halfway through to the other one. I'll have to check. I don't remember, but I haven't played in a year. It's not that difficult to prestige, like, you know. So either you're terrible or
Or I just haven't put enough time into it yet. Maybe it requires just a little bit more of my time. I do think I am. I think I'm like just halfway through my ninth prestige. I haven't played in about 2 weeks. I'll have to look at that again.
You have to get on and play, that's what you have to do.
Yes.
Forget about everything and play Call of Duty all day and all night.
If only I could. Between Total War Center and studying, there's little other time.
Oh, I'm savoring what time I have left. In 2 weeks, university starts for me, and I'm savoring the 2 weeks of summer that are left or whatever to just play nonstop now and just do whatever I want because. Yeah, when uni starts, it's not going to be that much fun anymore.
Nope.
I guess so. That's it, guys, for the 12th edition of the Total Warcast. This is Leonidas, and the guy over there on the other side of the interweb, somewhere in Colorado, is it, or
Oh,
Georgia, or
Southern United States.
over in the southern United States. What? Well, you're specific, but anyway.
Mysterious.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show. If not for the viewers, then for me, because I get to score a couple of brownie points with the boss. Yeah, guys, once this releases, we'll appreciate any comments, any feedback, positive or negative, that you guys can give us into improving. This is a relatively new podcast, and we'd like to continue doing this for a very long time, hopefully. And we'd like your feedback. So either in the tavern or in the release thread, we'd appreciate any and all feedback. See you next time.
Bye.